Well, from my home to yours, I want to wish you a happy new year. There's a lot of optimism around this time of the year. It's why we wish people's years to be happy. We have an anticipation that what the new year will bring will be better than what the previous year brought. At least that's how we used to approach things. Because about a year ago today, we were standing at the head of 2020 looking forward, and we were wishing other people Happy New Year's too. And we were optimistically setting goals and making plans, only to find ourselves 2 months later elbowing our way towards stockpiling toilet paper and running for cover anytime somebody sneezed. And so here we are again at the outset of a new year, 2021. And I'm guessing that most of you are approaching this year with a lot of caution and a lot of questions. Questions like, will this be the year that I could finally plan my wedding? Will I get to go travel and see family? Will we ever get back to normal? You know, my concern for many Christians is that you're going to approach the year 2021 in the same way you approached a lot of the previous year. You press pause on your faith, and there's no telling when you're going to press the play button again. You know, if you get caught up in all of the fear and frenzy that news media outlets and social media jam down our throat, you can develop a mindset that there's really nothing we can do with this pandemic. We just have to hunker down and wait and pray that it all goes back to normal. Friends, normal is gone. Whatever normal was has packed its things and left. We are now in a new world, a new reality, and God is doing a new thing. And I don't want to spend all my time and energy trying to go back to a pre-COVID life. I want to spend my time and energy moving ahead, following God into a post-COVID life. And at Sunrise Church, we don't want to focus on all the things we cannot do. We want to focus on the things we can do. And the same should be true for you. And so for today, what I'd like to do is open up God's Word, and I'd like to help us set a course as to where we intend on going as a church, and also give you some space to think about where you are going as an individual. So, if you have a Bible, open it up to the New Testament book of Acts. We'll be starting in chapter 2, and our historical account picks up after the crucifixion of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. And the apostles are gathered in a home waiting for the gift that Jesus promised. And one day while they were praying, that gift arrived. The very presence of God indwelled these apostles. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as we call it, empowered these men and emboldened them to step out of the safe confines of their home and take to the dangerous streets of Jerusalem the message of Jesus. And Peter stood up among the people and preached some powerful words. I want to share some of them with you. This is Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 22. He says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." And so Peter stands out and preaches to the people and says, "You remember Jesus? Yeah, you all remember Jesus. He's the one you killed. Well, guess what? Death could not keep its hold on him. He is alive." And then he continues in verse 29, "Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it." So Peter reminds his fellow countrymen, hey, we all know about David, our great King David. Well, as great as he was, he is dead. But he talked about one who was to come, a Messiah who would conquer death. Well, that Messiah is Jesus, and we saw him. We saw him after he died. And not only did we see him, but we hung out with him. We talked with him. We ate with him. We watched him ascend back up to heaven. This isn't some old fairy tale. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And as Peter was preaching about this Jesus, listen to how the crowd responded. Verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They were cut to the heart. Have you ever had this kind of feeling? We have a word for this. The word is conviction. And it's when you feel something so powerfully in your soul, something so profound, so gut-wrenching, that the question you're not asking is, should I do something? But you are declaring, I must do something. Inactivity is not an option. So he continues. And it says in verse 40, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This was the birth of what we now know as the church. In one day, 3,000 people turned their lives over to Jesus. People who had previously lived selfish, hardened, and outwardly religious lives were now totally transformed. And look at their behavior, verse 42. It said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What beautiful moments of that first church. This now thriving community of Jesus followers were enjoying Christian love, joy, and peace, and they were growing and being strengthened. And in many ways, our church is trying to emulate the very behavior of that early church. We put some special language around it. The way we say it here at Sunrise is that our purpose is to be one, bring one, and build one. Specifically, be one who is faithful to Christ, bring one into a relationship with Christ, and build one toward maturity in Christ. And in those days of the early church, all three of these things were very much at play. Look again at verse 42. Let's start with being one who is faithful to Christ. It says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. One of the ways they continued in their faithfulness was through their gatherings. They didn't just have a worship service on a Sunday. Every single day they'd go off to the temple courts and hear the apostles teach, and then they'd go back to their homes and talk about it even further. Bring one into a relationship with Christ. They kept sharing the message of Jesus with others. Verse 47 says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Every day people kept coming into a relationship with Jesus. And build one toward maturity in Christ. The people were growing. Verse 46 says, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. They were all growing. They were all being strengthened, and they were going to need it because a massive disruption was coming their way. What they did not know was that behind the scenes, the enemies of God were quietly plotting on how they could put a stop to this Jesus movement. And so they began arresting the leaders, the apostles, and told them, stop doing this, stop this foolishness. And when the apostles refused to listen, they increased the pressure. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 5, and let's pick things up in verse 40. It says, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been flogged. You know what flogging is? What they would have done is taken the apostles and tied them to a large pole and bound their hands. Then they would have stripped them of all their clothing and then took out whips and, in the full view of the general public, whacked at their back with these whips over and over again. If that was me and I received a flogging, I would think twice about opening my big mouth and mentioning the name of Jesus ever again. But that's not how the apostles responded. How did they respond? Verse 41. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. This ought to inspire us all. Despite fierce persecution, they never stopped teaching. They never stopped proclaiming the good news in the streets. And for many Christians, in circumstances far easier, many of us have retreated backward in our faith as a result of this pandemic. Why? Because it disrupted our patterns. It took away our buildings. And many of us just kind of quit, despite the fact that our very faith heritage is rooted and forged in the fires of persecution. And make no mistake, what Americans are facing in our country is not persecution. Okay? The government telling us not to meet indoors is not persecution. You want to know what persecution is? Persecution is a family I recently read about in India who turned their lives over to Jesus. And despite living in a village filled with radical Hindus, they boldly shared the message of Jesus with others, and many others began surrendering their lives to Christ. Well, as a result, these radical Hindus seized this family, had them arrested, and they were killed one by one as their village sang in their native tongue, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back." That's persecution. That's what the apostles were facing. This pandemic has not brought persecution upon us, but it has brought disruption upon us. And this disruption has not been without its pain. Many of you have lost loved ones due to COVID-related illnesses. Many people in our church have lost jobs or have been furloughed and are struggling to find work and pay the bills. Others have felt the strains of COVID on family life, having to cancel holiday get-togethers or put off funerals or derail plans. And so the question is, how are you going to respond to this disruption? What did the apostles do? They didn't quit. If there was ever a time to hang it up and say, we got to just hunker down and press pause because things are getting rough, this would have been the time. But instead, the apostles rejoiced despite the fact that they still had whip marks swelling on their backs, and they never stopped. And here's the crazy part. The worst was yet to come. You see, the enemies of God would arrest a bright young leader named Stephen, and they had him killed, and then the floodgates really burst open. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. In one day, everything changed for that first church. You know, it was one thing to persevere when the apostles were being persecuted, but now the people were being persecuted. In one day, they lost their freedom to gather. They lost the access to the apostles' teaching. In one day, everything changed, but at least they still had their own homes. At least they can gather together and worship God in the privacy of their own homes. Not so fast. Verse 3. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. So now the houses were safe, were no longer safe either. The murderous Saul began kicking in doors, shutting down the small groups, separating families, unjustly imprisoning the believers. And this once thriving community of Christ followers was now packing their belongings and running for the hills. Truly, this was the moment that the church would have to fold. This was the moment they would have to quit. But look what happens. Verse 4. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. You see, what the enemies of God did not understand is that you can shut down the church's buildings, but you can't shut down the church's boldness. You know, in the 1920s, the USSR tried to do this very thing. They tried to stamp out Christianity, and so they formed this militant group that started persecuting the church. The only problem is that it didn't work. The message of the gospel kept spreading. And the leader of this militant group got frustrated and was quoted as saying, "Christianity is like a nail. The harder you strike it, the deeper it goes." Can that be said about you? When you reflect back on 2020 and the disruption this pandemic brought, did your faith grow darker or did it grow deeper? For the apostles and for the early believers in that first church, their faith grew deeper. And what I want to see for all of us as we head into 2021 with all of its questions is that our faith would grow deeper. We don't need to be paralyzed by uncertainty. Let's follow God together. So in the few remaining moments that we have together here, I want to share with you our intention as a church of how we are going to try to be one and bring one and build one despite all of the uncertainty. And then I want us to take a look inward as well. So let's start first with be one. Be one who is faithful to Christ. One of the ways we want to continue to be one who is faithful to Christ is with our gatherings. We are committed to assembling the body of Christ, despite the circumstances. You know, this past November, I was feeling really frustrated about our buildings all being closed, and so I called a special meeting of the elders, and I simply posed this question. I asked them, do we need to just blow off the government and just do our own thing, open our buildings, and meet without the restrictions that are being imposed upon us? And so the elders came together and they prayed and we had some thoughtful dialogue around the subject and we walked out of that room in agreement that we believe God is calling this church to abide by the CDC guidelines and continue to meet outdoors. As we did in 2020, we believe that it is possible to both comply with safety protocols without compromising our faith. So we're going to continue to assemble the believers outdoors as long as necessary, even if it means meeting on church lawns and in parking lots. We are committed to lifting high the name of Jesus, whether we're sitting on a comfortable church pew or a dusty old camping chair we pulled out of the garage. You know, one of the things that's exciting about what's happened in this pandemic has been the launch of our online campus. Our online campus is different. It's not dependent upon local COVID surges or weather patterns. You know, our live gatherings sometimes get stopped because of the weather, but that's not the case with our online campus. Our online campus is here to stay. We don't view it as just a nice alternative to gathering live. We see this as a mission field, and we want to see it grow even more in 2021. So for you watching this right now, I want to see you get more engaged. We want to see you volunteering as online hosts. We want to see you inviting others to attend online campus with you. We want to see you joining online small groups and supporting the mission financially. You know, I heard a cool story that happened towards the end of last year. A young woman who lives in Texas got connected to Sunrise Church online, and she joined one of our online rooted groups. And as this group went on, she began to discover her need to give her life to Jesus. And so right there with the rooted group, she prayed to receive Christ. And guess what? She's getting baptized next week at one of our live gatherings. I mean, that's what it's about. The reason we assemble the people is to lift Jesus high and to make him known. You know, when Jesus gathered people, he didn't just do so for the sake of gathering people. He did it so that they could be sent out in his name. In fact, when Jesus first visited the disciples after his resurrection, when they were all huddled in a little room, scared for their lives, listen to what he said to them in John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." See, what Jesus was doing was he was preparing to send them out. And so as a church, that's what we want to do. We want to gather together. We want to fill you up and send you out. Let's get taught and then get sent. The most important time of your week should not be the moment the worship service starts, but the moment the worship service ends. And at Sunrise, we believe God has called us to reach as many people as possible. So I want to invite you to join me this year in praying more intentionally about the possibility of launching a new campus. We started to see some possibilities emerge last year, but amidst the COVID crisis, we didn't feel like the timing was right. But here in 2021, we're not going to just wait for all of the circumstances to fall into place. We want to pray more intentionally and decipher where God might be leading us as a church. And so we want to invite you to pray with us. Some of the areas that we're praying about, some of the communities we might reach, are the Moreno Valley or a Spanish campus in Victorville, or maybe even global campuses connected to Sunrise Church online. And so I ask you, will you pray with us as we seek God about the possibility of launching a new campus? These are just some of the ways as a church we intend to be one who is faithful to Christ. Now, how about you? As you consider being faithful to Christ, what are some spiritual goals you could set for your life? I want to give you a little space to ponder this very thing. Some of you are watching this right now with other people in the room, or if you're alone, you can write down the answers to the question I'm going to ask you or share it in the comments with the rest of the folks online. But here's the question that I'd love for you to answer. What is one way I can increase my faithfulness to Christ this year? Give that some thought, and we'll give you a minute to discuss. Now let's talk about bring one. What does it look like to bring one into a relationship with Jesus? Remember in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles, what's the first thing they did? Well, they stayed inside and had a closed Bible study. No! They immediately went out into the streets and listened to the invitation that Peter delivered to the people. This is Acts 2, verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And on that day, thousands of people did that very thing. They turned from their old ways and said, "We're going to follow Jesus from here on out." You know, this past year, we saw a lot of tremendous fruit from our local outreach efforts. Through our national days across all campuses and through our food distribution events, we were able to pray with lots of people. And over the course of last year, we saw over 1,300 people pray to receive Christ. Isn't that an incredible number? Over 1,300 people. Now, some of you hear that and think, "Yeah, I don't know about that." Of course, people want to receive Jesus because they want to receive food. Actually, that's not the way it works. They get their food first, and then we ask them if we could pray with them. Many of them say no and drive off, but many absolutely allow us to pray with them. And so after we ask them how we can pray, our awesome volunteers then ask this question: if you were to die today, do you know where you would spend your eternity? And since we met a physical need in their life by giving them food, many people are open to having a spiritual need met by receiving Jesus. And they pray, and that's why we've seen over 1,300 people receive Christ. And I've heard some rumblings around Sunrise, doubting the authenticity of that number. And if you're doubting, I want to personally invite you to come out to our next local outreach and volunteer as a prayer partner, and then you could stick your head in a window and ask people if you could pray with them, and then you can present the gospel and then have a front row seat to seeing what God is doing. And so in 2021, we want to continue to do this even more. We want to expand our current outreach efforts. Thanks to your generosity last year, we are now able to buy a box truck. We should have that buttoned up here in the next couple of weeks, which means we're going to be able to get more food and feed more and ultimately reach more. And our outreach team is working hard on all kinds of new initiatives to reach our community in the name of Jesus and bring one into a relationship with Christ. And one such opportunity that's coming that you're not going to want to miss is a very beautiful night aimed at blessing those in our special needs community. Stay tuned for that. So now let's get this down to a personal level. How about you? When it comes to bringing one into a personal relationship with Christ, how might you set some spiritual goals for 2021 in this area? I'd like to challenge you to think about one person in your life that you would like to see come to Christ this year. So again, I want to give you some time to think about this and talk about this. Here's the question I'd love for us to discuss. Who is one person far from Christ that I can share the gospel with this year? We'll give you a minute to talk about that. Go. So after a person begins a relationship with Christ, the next step is for them to grow. That's where build one comes in. Build one toward maturity in Christ. Again, when we look at that early church in Acts chapter 2? How did they go about building toward maturity in Christ? It says that they gathered together in the temple courts to receive the apostles' teaching, and then they went back to their homes, into their small groups, where they likely discussed the very things they were learning about. One of the things that we discovered last year is that small groups, maybe more than any other time in our history, were so critical to our lives. You know, when the quarantine first hit, many people went into isolation and depression. We were created for relationship, created to be in community. And what we discovered is small groups wasn't just vital for our spiritual life, but for our mental life as well. And so I want to see every one of us at Sunrise Church this year join a small group. Now, because of the current health crisis, almost all of those are meeting online. But we anticipate a time in 2021 where we will be able to get back into homes. Of course, those of you who were in online small groups specifically, you could live in Uzbekistan and still be a part of an online small group. You might have to get up at 2 a.m. when the rest of the group meets, but you could still do it. But we anticipate those who are going to be in person to be able to regather in homes. And we want to see you doing life with one another in these smaller groups, just like they did in the early church. Now, one of the great ways to do that is to begin with Rooted. Rooted starts in just a couple of weeks, and Rooted is a 10-week experience focusing on developing some healthy spiritual rhythms in our lives. And what better way to do that than with other people? You know, the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Friends, it takes at least two people to spur. And one of the reasons why you may have moved backwards in your faith this year is because you didn't have anyone spurring you on toward love and good deeds, and you weren't spurring anyone on toward love and good deeds. And then he continues in verse 25, "Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We cannot deprioritize the importance of gathering together in Christian community. If you haven't joined a small group yet, this is your year. So let's get this down to a personal level. How do you intend on building toward maturity in Christ this year? Maybe this is the year that you join a small group. Maybe this is the year you get baptized. Maybe this is the year that you build into the life of someone who is younger than you, or you learn from somebody who is older than you, or you start serving at the church. What is the thing that you can do to take that next step when it comes to your own Christian maturity? So I want to give you some space to once again think about this and talk about this. And here's the question that I'd love for you to discuss. What needs to happen for you this year to take that next step of Christian maturity? We'll give you 60 seconds. Go. In the early days of the church, the Apostle Peter stood out in front of the people and invited them to turn their lives over to Jesus. And how did they respond? Acts 2:37. "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" And maybe that's how you are feeling right now. You feel cut to the heart because you know deep down inside, you are not one who is faithful to Christ. You are not one who's bringing others to Christ. You are not one who's growing toward maturity in Christ because you've never surrendered your life to Christ. And after they were cut to the heart, they asked the question, "What shall we do?" It's the question we ought to still be asking ourselves today. What shall I do? Should I keep continuing living the same way day after day, knowing that there's this emptiness in my life? Or perhaps should I consider that the one thing I've been missing all these years is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And so today, I want to invite you to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to come into your life. If you've never cried out to Him, if you've never invited Him in, if you've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins, well, there's no time like the present. Wouldn't it be awesome to start off 2021 by beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ? And the way to do this is to admit your sins, to believe that Jesus died in your place, and to commit to following Him. And so I can help you begin this relationship with Jesus. I can lead you in a prayer and you could repeat after me. I'll give you the words, but you got to pray them in faith. So if you're ready to ask Jesus to come into your life right now, then I want to invite you, pray with me and repeat out loud. Let's pray. Jesus, I admit my sins before you. I've done so many bad things in my life. But today I place my faith in you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And so today I'm asking that you forgive me. Come into my life. Help me turn from my old ways so that I could follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer in sincerity, the Bible says that angels in heaven rejoice that a new member has been added to the family. And we want to rejoice with you. Let us know in the comments. Get those hands up. Let us know, today I committed my life to Christ. And if you did, it's time to take that next step. Right now, pull out your phones and text the word next to the number on the screen. You'll receive a message back on how you can grow. Even if you have prayed to receive Christ already, text the word next to the number on the screen. You'll find out how to get engaged in a small group or serve or maybe link up with someone one-to-one to grow in your faith. Maybe what you really need today is for somebody to pray with you. We have prayer partners on standby live right now, ready to do that very thing. If you're watching this in the online campus, click on the prayer button and you'll be launched into a private window where you can pray with somebody. On our other social platforms, let us know in the comments and one of our prayer partners will engage with you. Right now, we're not going to say, hey, we'll pray for you. We will actually pray right now with you. Take that next step. In the early days of that church, there was beautiful moments of gathering and going and growing. And when persecution hit the apostles, they continued to be one, bring one, and build one. And when persecution hit everybody else, they continued to be one, bring one, and build one. The circumstances changed, their Savior did not. And the same should be true for you and I. Let's not press pause on our faith this year. Let's not move backwards in our faith this year. Let's not allow 2021 to be a year that is characterized by the disruption of our faith, but by the eruption of our faith. Because our hope is in Christ alone. Our hope is not in a vaccine. Our hope is not in a president. Our hope is not in going back to normal. Our hope is in going ahead toward what God is doing. And God is doing a new thing. So no more excuses. Let's move with Him. Church, let's do this. And if you believe it in your heart, then somebody say, amen.